Good morning to all of you, and it's truly good to see all of you in church. And again, thank you for taking time to be with us this morning as we commemorate, as we remember Good Friday. I know many of us would rather be in bed, but why Good Friday? Why Good Friday? Some of you may be here for the first time listening, and all this may be pretty new. The rest of you may be, have been in church for many years, and you do know what Good Friday is all about. But this morning we'll take time to explain to you what Good Friday is about, if it is new to you. And also, for those of you who have been in church for many years, what does it mean to you? Well, Good Friday is celebrated all around the world, except in some countries. But this is the time of the year we observe Good Friday again. And we often ask ourselves this question: what is so good about this particular Friday? What is so good about this particular Friday? And most of you smart people would already know that some 2,000 years ago, on a particular Friday, it was a Friday that did not end up very good for Jesus. It didn't end up good at all for Jesus, because that particular Friday was the day before the Passover. The Jewish people call it the Passover. And that was that Friday when Jesus had his Last Supper with his disciples, and then was betrayed by Judas Iscariot that night. And the following day, it was on a Saturday, Jesus was crucified. He died, and then he was buried. He was buried in a new tomb that was just dug out, and it belongs to a man called Joseph of Arimathea. And because it was such a terrible, tragic event, today, we and most churches tend to treat Good Friday service as though it was a funeral service for Jesus. But it wasn't. It wasn't. Listen to what Jesus said when he was about to be crucified. When he was taken on the way to the crucifixion site at Calvary. All right. It's stuck. All right. From the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 27 to 30, while he was walking towards the crucifixion site, verse 27 tells us a large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.'" Verse 30. "Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.'" A couple of things that Jesus said here. But firstly, we need to know that even though Jesus knew he was about to die, and yet he turned to the people around him, to the women especially, and said to them, "Don't cry for me." Because firstly, Jesus willingly came into this world to die for our sins. And yes, it will be a painful and terrible death, but death does not terrify him. Instead, he told them in the second part of this passage that a time will come very soon when the wrath of God, the anger of God, will come upon them, the Israelites. And this event, the Bible calls it the tribulation. 7 years of intense suffering. And that they should be crying for their descendants, because the tribulation will be terrifying and unbearable. Unbearable. It will be a time of severe famine when a mother will eat her own child. And they would wish for the mountains to fall on them. We know what terrible death that is like. Recently, we saw what's going on around the world. When there's an earthquake, you die a terrible death. You're almost there, but not there yet. And you're in pain. So even when Jesus himself was about to be killed, he was more concerned about the terrifying future that is about to come on the descendants of the Israelites. And that's in our future. And that's something that's going to happen pretty soon. Look at your newspapers. It is happening. It is happening. The Jews will all go back to Israel thinking that it is safer, because around the world, many people hate the Jews. And when they go back there, that is when God will punish Israel for their sins. And at the same time, he will punish the whole world too. We are not exempted. We are equally evil. And when they go back to Israel, that's the time the tribulation will start. And the Israelites will have a terrible future. So the question is this: what must the Israelites do then? What must they do? And the answer comes in the second part of our Good Friday story. Because what I've just told you so far is only half the story. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul tells us the whole story. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. Let me read to you from the NASB translation. Verse 3, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to scriptures." That's the whole story. Jesus not only died on the cross and was buried, but on the third day he was raised back to life. On the third day, showing us that Jesus has the power over sin and death. He has the power over sin and death. And today, if you and I, we believe in Jesus, our sins will be forgiven and God will give us eternal life. Eternal life. Meaning, we will also be resurrected when this body dies, and we can live forever with Jesus in heaven. In heaven. Wouldn't that be great? So you may want to ask, Pastor John, what does it mean to believe in Jesus? What does it mean to believe in Jesus? Because many people today claim they believe in Jesus. Many people call themselves Christians, but do they really believe in Jesus? So what does it mean to believe in Jesus? It means this. I put it down in as simple as possible. If you can remember ABC, then that would help. A, firstly, you have to admit that you're a sinner and you deserve to be punished for your sins in hell. That's what God said. It's not what I said. That's what God said. So firstly, you have to admit. B, you have to believe. Believe that Jesus, who is the God who loves you, and he died in your places on the cross for your sins. You need to believe that he died in your place. Otherwise, it should have been you and I hanging on the cross, dying a terrible death. Lastly, C, you need to call out to Jesus. You need to invite him into your heart. Invite him into your life today to be your Savior and to be your Lord, meaning your Master. Admit, believe, and then finally, you invite. Jesus doesn't budge into your life. He respects you. If you say no to him, he will stay away. But if you know your life is in a mess and you needed him, then you invite him and he will come into your life to be not just your Savior, but he needs to be your Lord. He needs to be your Master. And after that, you and I will become a child of God, meaning we will have eternal life. This eternal life is promised to everyone who repents, meaning you admit that you're a sinner, and then you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Many of us want to live as long as possible. Nobody wants to die. And then we try all kinds of things. We eat all kinds of health supplements, and then we exercise. And the tragic part is that you will still die. The last time I checked, those who drink plain water will still die. All right? Coke may die faster, but you will still die. The clock will get you. And if today, if you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, that is, if Jesus is not the Savior and Lord of your life, but you want to, then you can just pray. And praying to God is just like talking. When you talk to God, it's called prayer. You simply have to tell Jesus, you just have to say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I'm sorry for my sins. Please forgive me. And I now want you to come into my heart, come into my life, to be my Savior and my Lord. Amen. That's all. Admit that you're a sinner, believe that he's God, and invite him. Good Friday follows Easter Sunday, or we sometimes call it Resurrection Sunday. If there's no Good Friday, there's no Resurrection Sunday. But Resurrection Sunday, or the resurrection story, is the part we love most. And we love the free gift of eternal life. But what about the crucifixion sin on Calvary? You and I, we must not minimize the reality and the suffering that Jesus went through for us, that he being fully God and fully man, he was whipped. And when he was whipped, his flesh split open. And then he was stripped naked, hanging on the cross, stuck naked. And he felt our shame. That shame should be ours. And then finally he was pierced, and he felt the pain. But all this, Jesus willingly died for us as our substitute, because it should have been you and I on the cross, dying for our own sins. And when we read the crucifixion account, I don't know about you, but for me, it's always very painful. Painful to hear Jesus crying out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's a famous statement or a cry that we all know. But what really happened to Jesus at that moment? Was Jesus really forsaken by God? And the answer is yes. Yes. Because Jesus had an intimate relationship with his Heavenly Father from eternity past. And that relationship was completely severed because God, the Father, being holy, could not look at sin. Because when on the cross, all the sin of the whole world was laid on his shoulders. And this separation was extremely painful for Jesus. And you and I will never be able to understand that. But that is also not the end of the story. Because when Jesus cried out to God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was actually quoting from Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Right from the beginning, the first verse, verse 1 reads, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. It was a lament psalm, a cry of anguish, a cry of pain. When King David wrote this, he cried out to God because he was betrayed by his own family, by his own friends. And now he was surrounded by his enemies, mocking him and shaking their fists at him. That was how King David felt. Similarly, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he too saw the Pharisees at the foot of his cross mocking him. Many were mocking him. They were shouting out to him, if you're God, save yourself. Save yourself. But this psalm did not end on a depressed note, because the psalm took an about turn. And the psalmist remembered that God is still good, that his promises are always true, and there is still hope in God. So if you were to look at the whole psalm, it's 31 verses all in, but let me show you how the psalm ended. These are the final few verses of the psalm. You may not be able to see the last verse, but the last verse verses, let me read to you verses 29, 30, and 31. In this psalm, it ended up by saying, one day, all the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. And they will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn. And what was it that they will declare? He has done it. He has done it. Wow. Those last four words, they are so important. Did you catch this last line? God is actually saying here that the people will declare from one generation to the next, even to those who are still unborn. And every generation will be able to declare that God has done it. What did he mean by that? In fact, those were the final words of Jesus when he was hanging on the cross. We find that in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 30. John 19, verse 30. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished," meaning, "It is done." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. He gave it up. He gave. It wasn't taken from him. His life wasn't taken from him. Nobody could have taken his life. But he willingly gave up his life. And notice here, Jesus did not die groaning and moaning. Unlike most of us, when we are on our deathbed. And I've seen quite a few people on their deathbeds. They were thrashing, yelling, and in fear. Because they know that they are about to die, but not Jesus. Jesus voluntarily gave up his spirit with a shout of victory. It is finished. It is done. He has completed what he came to do. So this lament psalm, while it started out with a cry of anguish, it ended up in a shout of victory. Jesus declaring that he has power. Power over sin and death. Because he will rise up from the dead again. He knew he will on the third day. But he was buried. He was buried in the tomb. And he knew he only needed to borrow Joseph's tomb for 3 days. It's just to borrow. All right. Yes, Jesus' death was tragic. But he was not defeated because of his obedience to God. It was at that moment that Jesus actually defeated Satan forever. Just as God had prophesied in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. All the way to Genesis, God prophesied that Jesus, the Messiah, will have victory over Satan. Because in verse 15, God tells us, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will bruise you on your head." He, in red, meaning the Messiah, Jesus. He will give you the fatal blow, but you will only bruise him on the heel. It will look like he was hurt, but it wasn't fatal. And that was why at the moment when Jesus died, you remember the veil, the thick veil in the temple. It was almost about 30 feet high. It was torn from the top to the bottom, not the bottom to the top. It was God who did it, signifying that from that moment onwards, you and I, not only can we have access directly into the holy presence of our Creator God, but you and I, we can also have the resurrection power that Jesus had over sin and death. Over sin and death. So the question we asked earlier, that God will punish the Israelites soon, in our future, for their sins. And the question is, what must then the Israelites do? What must they do to save themselves from God's wrath, from God's anger? And the answer is this. The Israelites, to save themselves from the wrath of God, they must believe in Jesus as their Messiah. And it's also the same for you and I. If you want to have eternal life, you need to believe in Jesus. But if you choose to reject Jesus as God and you refuse to believe, then you will have to face the wrath of God yourself. You will have to pay for your own sins in hell. And so often when I talk to people, they will always say, let me think about it. Let me think about it. The moment you say, let me think about it, you have rejected Jesus already. You have rejected. And you and I know tomorrow is not promised to anyone. How many of you know you'll be alive tomorrow? I'm the only one. All right, that's nice. All right. That's the truth. None of us will know. But yes, today is the time, and now is the moment. You must make that decision. And if you want to think about it, that's your choice. And that choice, it would mean you have rejected Jesus. Yes, Good Friday is about that particular Friday when Jesus suffered the excruciating pain on the cross and became our substitute. And he died on the cross in our places for our sins. And you have to, and I urge you, you need to believe today, because it will determine your eternity. It will determine where you will be for all eternity. Let me speak to the other group who have been in church for a long time. Many of us here, we can say we have already believed in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And Jesus has called us to be His disciples. His disciples. So the question is, what does it mean? What does it mean to be a disciple? It simply means this, that Jesus demands that we carry our own crosses and follow Him. We carry our own crosses and follow Him. This is what He said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew 16, verse 24. Let me read to you from the NLT. Then Jesus said to His disciples, if any of you want to be My follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross and follow Me. In the King James, it has the word deny. You must deny yourself, meaning to deny our old selfish desires. If you want to be His disciples, you need to kill the old man who's still alive in us, Sometimes we call it the flesh. The flesh in us is still strong and alive. Having killed the old man, then you turn to follow Jesus and do what he wants us to do, because he's the master, he's the boss. Now, I do know some of you would probably be thinking, and you are not just thinking, you're living this. And you may be asking, what if I refuse to take up my cross? I just want to be a believer. I just want to go to heaven. Hallelujah. Or some of you may be saying, what if I don't have the time? I'm just too busy. And Jesus has taught of all this. He knew what our little brain is thinking, how twisted it can become. And this is what Jesus said, and he's saying to all of us in Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 to 39. Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 to 39. He's saying to those who have believed but refuse to follow. Verse 37 in the NLT. If you love your father or mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. It is so clear. Right? It is so clear. And you may be saying, wow, this is serious, because he repeated it three times. What does it mean that I'm not worthy of being Jesus, belonging to Jesus? The word not worthy means not fit to bear the name of Jesus. Not fit to be considered as one of his disciples. Because you love your father, your mother, your son, your daughter more than Jesus. Because you love your own life more than you love Jesus. You're so busy with stuff that Jesus has no priority. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus puts it in another way. Luke chapter 6, verse 49. Luke chapter 6, verse 49. Jesus said, but anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house without a foundation. And when the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. It will collapse into a heap of ruins. I'm sure we all of us saw what happened in Bangkok during the Myanmar earthquake. A whole building, I think at least 20, 30 story high, came right down, and all the other buildings around it are still okay. And this is exactly what Jesus said, and he's describing us. If we refuse to take up our cross, and if we don't obey, we will collapse. Our life will collapse into a pile of ruins. Now, some of you may be thinking, my life is okay so far. God kind of missed me. But hey, your runway is still pretty long, all right? Don't test God, because it will happen. When whatever God says, it will happen. Oh, but I do obey sometimes. That's not good enough. God says, if you choose to ignore me even, ignore me, your life will turn into a pile of ruins. So, today, as we remember what Jesus did on the cross, and we took time to come and remember it and thank him for it, that's great. But we need to follow him. We need to take our discipleship seriously. And then for some of you, if Jesus still is not your Lord and the Savior of your life, you need to believe in him today, not tomorrow, because tomorrow may be too late. We are all important, and what we've talked about this morning is urgent, because Jesus told them about a time is coming when this world will end. This world will end. And today we're seeing more and more of these signs. You think the tariff is going to hurt us? You better believe it. And it may even cause a war. And as if that's not enough, you've got another nuclear war brewing in the Middle East. It may happen. It may escalate. And from here onwards, Jesus is saying, it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. Because you and I, as human beings, we are so, so evil. And God will bring this world to an end very soon. And what are the signs? Jesus himself told us. Earthquakes, famine, diseases, wars, cosmic chaos. You'll find meteorites falling out of the sky and hitting our earth, causing massive, massive destruction. It's going to happen. In fact, we have seen it happening already. And can I again urge you, don't delay. Jesus loves you. You and I, we're going to go through some serious, difficult times. There will be shaking, but everyone who has his roots in Jesus cannot be shaken. But if you don't, then what's going on around you will really scare you. So today you must decide. For those of you who have not believed, believe today. And if you say quit, then you have already decided. For the rest of us, if Jesus is God, then treat him like God. Allow him to be God in your lives. But the question is he? And the test is, are you following? Are you picking up your cross and following him? I hope you'll do the wise thing. I hope you'll do the thing that truly will give you meaning and purpose in life, and you'll give you excitement here on earth. Maybe difficult, but you will be living an exciting life of faith, seeing God work. You'll never regret it. Life is never measured by how long you live. Life is always measured by how deep you put your roots into Jesus. I'm going to be up here for a little while, and if any of you got questions, or if any of you would love for me to pray with you, I'll be happy to do it. Or if you have questions about anything, I'll be happy to answer your questions. God bless.